Let's get to our guest. It is Kumal Sreekumar, president at Sreekumar Global Strategies. Sri, it's almost never, in fact, it is never, that you see a sitting president in Brazil lose. So this is quite a big deal, and it's a huge victory for the left with Lula getting back in. What do you think it means for the economy going forward?
I think, Brian, I was quite sanguine about either candidate winning, because Bolsonaro in the last few years has been good for business, and Lula during his two terms was unexpectedly positive for private business. They thought that as a Workers' Party leader, he would lead to more of socialist policies and that the economy would go down. Instead, it was a golden period for the Brazilian economy during the Lula presidency for two terms. Keep in mind that it was only during his successor, Dilma Rousseff, who was hand-chosen by him, by the way, that everything went downhill. So here is the real crux. It doesn't matter who wins, but the loser has to accept his defeat. And the question now is Bolsonaro going to accept it? Is military going to accept it? And do we have a peaceful transfer of power? That, to me, is much more important than which candidate wins. And I'm very happy with the Lula victory, just as I would have been with the Bolsonaro victory.
Absolutely. And, you know, that smacks of some other country as well, where perhaps other outgoing presidents don't like to accept the verdict of the people. But in this case, it would be going to the old Quentin Hogg's saying of if democracy changed anything, they'd abolish it. But does it have market implications, though?
It may have market implications tomorrow, Rish, in the sense that markets, I think, had a marginal preference for Bolsonaro over Lula. So you may see Monday, perhaps Tuesday, the developments lead to a drop in the market value. But if you give 3 months or 6 months, and when Lula takes office at the beginning of the new year, assuming the transfer is smooth, things are going to be much better off after all.
Okay, so it hasn't been much of the big macro story, so let's get to that. We got the Fed meeting this week and the BOE, so it's going to be a pretty interesting week. The latest data doesn't seem to be showing that inflation is cooperating.
Inflation is not cooperating at all, Brian, and you see that core inflation is at 40-year highs, and the Federal Reserve's favorite price measure, the PCE deflator core, is also accelerated in the most recent month, in the data released a few days ago. So there is no reason to pivot. The only reason to pivot is because they want to help the stock market or they are worried about a systemic failure.
Sreed, give us a sense of this market, or should I say market participants, almost trying to force the Federal Reserve to pivot. Give us your sense, because I think you just wrote a paper essentially saying, pivot, just lose that thought.
Right. That's what I put out this Saturday, Rish, and I believe that it would be wrong to pivot at this stage. The story about a pivot started out with a Wall Street Journal article about 9 days ago, suggesting a few members of the Federal Reserve were actively looking to either slow down the rate of increase in the interest rate or even to end it in early 2023. But here is the problem. Inflation rate has not come down. The core inflation rate has accelerated. Some measures are at their 40-year high. What is the basis for pivoting when the chairman has said repeatedly that he is using inflation to be his principal objective?
Yeah.
The problem I see is that they are worried about a systemic failure. They look at what happened in London with the pension funds. They're afraid there might be a repeat of that, and they simply don't want to go ahead with it. My answer is yes, it may happen. The problem is they were so wrong in forecasting inflation in 2021, again and again calling it transitory, and at the same time boosting the balance sheet, keeping the interest rate near zero. That is what has increased the risk. It is not what they are doing right now.
But let's talk about how much damage is being done, because it seems the U.S. economy is pretty resilient. The labor market is hanging in there. Growth is not falling off a table. Inflation is bad if it causes harm. If it doesn't cause harm, is it so bad?
That's a great question, Brian. But let me put it to you this way. inflation is causing a lot of harm, may not be for equity holders, may not even be for bond holders. But if you are a wage earner, your wages are increasing significantly slower than overall inflation. And some components, especially for people who are low and middle income, the food at home category, the rent category, which are much more important than other factors, they have increased more than the overall index. So is inflation causing a lot of harm? Yes. The reason why you see the Democrats are on the defensive before the November 8th midterm elections is that inflation matters. And it used to be that said that inflation is something only wealthy people worry about. Not really. It actually affects the poor, and that is what you're seeing reflected in political terms, Brian.
Yeah, it might be why we saw Lula get elected. Rish?
Absolutely. Now, give us a sense of, this final sales to domestic private entities going down here as well. This is what you've been looking at. And this is coming from the Bureau of Economic Analysis here. This is something where we had, I'm going to quote you here, but it is not what Jerome Powell meant in recent press conference when he admitted there would be some pain as the Fed tightened.
He did say, though, at his press conferences, I think at least twice in his press conferences, that there will be pain in terms of the Fed tightening and the impact that is felt on the economy. The pain he talked about was probably more oriented toward higher unemployment rate, which hasn't happened yet. But it is starting to happen, Rish, in terms of private spending by companies and private spending by households. That's the number you're referring to, which slowed down to a crawl in the latest figures which were published for the third quarter. Yeah. Now, the issue is when you have done that and the pot is slowing down, they should not be surprised. After all, that's what higher and higher interest rates are going to do. And that's the way, by destroying demand, is how they are going to bring down the inflation rate.
Okay.
Now, if on the middle they switch over and say, hey, we did too much, we are not going to worry about inflation anymore, he is going to repeat the errors of the 1970s, which perpetuated inflation.
All right, final question. Is it the end of the pro-growth reform period in China?
I think it is, at least for the next year to 2 years, Brian, I would say yes. It is much more a consolidation of political power by the president rather than support the private markets.
All right, Kamal Sri Kumar there joining us. Just going through for the Federal Reserve, what happens next? And of course, Kamal Sri Kumar is president at Sri Kumar Global Strategies and getting his take on the markets and more.